This episode of the podcast is going to be a little bit different from past episodes of the podcast. And that is, well, because this episode is going to be about a story that dives more into the realm of opinion than just facts. Let me explain. If you know some of my interests based on the topics I speak about on the podcast, you know that I take the environment very seriously. That my stance on climate change is that we as a species have neglected our planet by pursuing our economic fulfillment, which is just a more polite way of saying that we did this out of our own greed. We want more, we want to retain our luxurious lifestyles, we want our stuff, and we want it now. And we don't care what consequences come out of our desires. All for materialistic gain. I've been a large supporter of movements such as Fridays for the Future, a student youth strike for governments to act on the climate change issue, living zero waste, and minimalism, which does strike at the root of the issue. So for me, technologies trying to improve on green energy and move away from fossil fuels have been great encouragers for the future. I was all in for green alternative energy, solar, wind, hydro, and biofuel. That is, until I saw a recent documentary. Quite a bit of controversy has actually been created around this new documentary, and it's called Planet of the Humans. And that will be our topic for this episode. Hi, I'm Kevin, and this is the only podcast hosted by me. And you are listening to
A Mention with Kevin.
So, the main message of a new environmental documentary called Planet of the Humans, like Planet of the Apes, is that despite our powerful economic grip on the world, or maybe because of it, we have started a planetary fire that even our greenest leaders seem unable to cool. To say the movie, backed by one of my favorite filmmakers, Michael Moore, and made by his longtime associate, Jeff Gibbs, is controversial as well, kind of an understatement. Offering it free on the internet during the COVID-19 lockdown has helped attract more than 4.6 million views since the first showing of the film on Earth Day. But it also attracted a wave of outrage and criticism. Not from the expected anti-environmental crowd, many of whom seem to quite like the documentary, but from committed environmentalists themselves. The film spotlights several well-known green leaders, including Al Gore, who helped bring climate change awareness to the people in 2006 in his film An Inconvenient Truth, as being in the pocket of big business. The film has been criticized for using the tricks of gotcha journalism. Yes, some of the video clips that they use in this documentary are very old. One being a good example is the GM spokesperson for the Bolt. Do they not always cite the sources of its data? Well, yes. But it's a documentary made by only a handful of people. It brings to light that solar and wind energy projects need fossil fuel backup, and that battery-powered electric cars run on an energy from coal plants. Though it has to be kept in mind of where you live and where your energy comes from. Most of the documentary takes place in the United States. Well, here in Canada, near Niagara Falls, things are done a little bit differently. We rely heavily on hydroelectricity, or on our second largest source of energy, nuclear. And what I would argue is one of the most efficient and least wasteful forms of generating electricity. But we still need to remember that fossil fuels are still required to manufacture, well, electric cars and the batteries that they run on, which have their own environmental impacts. And, of course, like we said before, they do feed on an electric grid that keeps them running. But we also need to remember, in some places, including parts of Ontario and BC, like I've mentioned, they are charged to all intents and purposes virtually carbon-free. The movie does have some core messages that are worth seeing. One is to open our eyes to the scale of industrial biomass plants that burn mostly trees, but more loosely have used garbage and macerated tires to make electricity, and that it is not the environmentally friendly industry it was once thought to be. Another valid lesson in the movie is the power money has to reset the green agenda, turning what was a grassroots action into a profit center and subtly co-opting the movement's objectives. This is what capitalism does. It can't help itself. But it is a reminder to environmental activists to keep governments and companies focused on moving forward with that agenda. The final and most valid point that the film makes is that as we use the power of capitalism to fight climate change with efficient windmills, sleek electric cars, and better batteries, we must not lose sight on the fact that we only have one world, and we must share it. As activist Greta Thunberg told the UN Climate Action Summit last year, the pursuit of endless economic growth is just not worth the money if it leads to mass extinction. Once we live in a world where only humans are left, it really doesn't matter how good our intentions were. So, after watching this film, I have some thoughts and some opinions to share. As someone who watched the entire documentary, I have to say it was really eye-opening. Sure, it had some amateur mistakes, but overall, it did what it was intended to do. And that is to start discussions and provoke thought. The way we are going about with our materialistic greed is killing our planet, the animals here, and each other, all for economic stability? I don't want to get in on a tangent, but economics is a social construct. We as a society designed economics, so we can redesign it, and we can decide together what is valuable, and how to value our things, each other, and what really matters. At the end of this documentary, the message is very depressing. It ends the documentary on a very dark note, but I think that it is needed to make a point. This documentary doesn't blame climate change on government, corporate, or community levels. We all have a part to play in this as individuals. Everyone is in this system. Unless we observe our mistakes, break that cycle of selfishness, and change our values, climate change won't stop. And we won't have an earth to live on if this goes too far. So we need to take action and create hope for ourselves with our actions and what we buy, and what we value, and who we actually care for. If you actually have these beliefs or feelings, you should be expressing them through action. If that means living a more green lifestyle, zero waste possibly, even minimalism, or maybe that means taking action to write to a member of your government. It could even mean speaking with individuals from your work, and possibly making changes to the company so that they follow a greener plan. I challenge all of those of you who are listening to this to take those thoughts into consideration. And if you need to see this documentary for yourself to make a change, I would highly recommend it. And maybe a movement can be formed out of this, and we'll see change to our world. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. This has been a really interesting one for me, as I'm very passionate about the environment. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you do enjoy these type of podcasts, please subscribe or like or recommend it to one of your friends. If you'd like to see some other content that I make, you can see me at youtube.com under the channel name Kevin Hobie or Studio Kevin, where I make some other creative videos in my free time. Again, I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I just want to remind you to be safe out there, to brush your teeth and floss, and I will see you on the next episode. Good night.